Hey, Supermom. We know every mom has a desire and the ability to be a supermom who does it all. So tune in to the Crunchy Supermom Show and let's design a holistic life that fits. Hey, Supermoms. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Mandy.
We're the creators of the Crunchy Supermom blog. We're talking about organic beauty today and what that means for supermoms who want and need certain beauty and personal care items but don't want all the toxins that often come with those products. As usual, we don't want you to take notes because we've already done that for you. To get the show notes for today's episode, go to crunchysupermom.com/organic beauty. We're going to link to everything we talk about in the show and we'll get you an action plan so you can just sit back and listen stress-free. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm going to jump right in here. I want to start out by saying it's pretty common knowledge now that many beauty care products contain what we can assume is toxic chemicals and harmful ingredients. But as women, we tolerate this to keep up with our appearances. Mandy, when it comes to beauty products, how strict are you about the ingredients? And tell our listeners, are you a full performance makeup diva or a minimalist with a semi-nude face?
I actually like to go the whole full makeup, but I don't really do that every day because there's not a whole lot of time in the day. And if I'm going to be home, what, you know, I don't fool with it, but, I'll wear like a little bit at home and then often use a full face when I go out. And I mean, there's a lot of discussion about this. I feel like online, you know, some women are saying don't wear makeup or, you know, go makeup free. And I just kind of feel like it's all personal and everyone can wear what they want, either wear it or not, either way. I don't know. It seems like a little bit of shaming on both sides or something, you know, like the, yeah. I've seen things where women are being shamed for not wearing makeup and it's ridiculous.
Right. I've noticed that. And there's those studies that talk about how women who did not wear makeup were actually perceived as not as qualified for jobs and they actually were paid less. Which, I mean, I come from a corporate background, so I definitely used to wear, like, a full face makeup. But now, just as moms, I've noticed that, like, kind of the shaming. Like, you shouldn't wear so much makeup, or you shouldn't need to, or we all need to expose our naked face and be happy about it kind of thing.
Right.
But makeup's so fun.
It is. That's kind of what I feel like. And I think I started out when I was younger because my skin was not great. Mm-hmm. And so it made me feel better about myself. But then it just got... I don't know. I kind of started wearing more and more as I got older, obviously. And I just thought it was fun and I liked to do it. But again, it's all personal preference of what you find, you know, what we always say, what you find as ideal for you. Mm-hmm. So, but no matter how much I really wanted to wear the makeup, if I couldn't find anything that was safe, I probably would just have to stop using it or only use what I found to be safe. But the good news is for me, I feel like there's a lot of safe alternatives now, not only for makeup, but also other personal care and beauty items. And if you like to do it yourself, makeup or beauty items, there's a ton out there and tons of free recipes and paid recipes that you can make yourself. And I actually love making my own products so much that I started a small handmade business selling what I make. And I guess it really was the desire to have something better for my family that drove me to insist on only using the safest ingredients. And that eventually led to having to create it myself. And I could go on and on about that because the labeling, you know, just that's one of my pet peeves. And I could talk about what I love to create and all the herbs and essential oils. But that actually is a topic for another time because today we're going to discuss what beauty or personal care items you truly need, the ingredients to avoid, and what to look for either in a handcrafted or store purchased product. And my first huge change to talk about was moving towards safe beauty that was, and it was eliminating unnecessary items. That was what I did first. Like sort of whenever we start eating clean food and we'll take out all the junk or use up all our junk, you know, that we don't really want to keep on using. And I just did that with my personal care too. I said, you know, I don't have to have this. And the first thing I got rid of was nail polish. I'm like, I don't have to paint my fingernails. And half a year, my toes are inside, you know, shoes. So I don't even have to paint my toenails most of the time. During the summer now, even still, I'm like, I need to paint these at least sometimes. And I found alternatives that are much safer, but for that first thing, I just went ahead and chunked it and said, I'm not gonna use it anymore. How about you? Did you eliminate nail polish or anything else?
Yeah, you know, I used to get full nail fills
for my job.
Yeah, I would literally get them filled every week. So I never, I can't paint my own nails at all.
No.
I have three girls, so I have, I don't know, 57 different colors of piggy paint, and it never comes off my toes, so I need to buy something toxic to get it off.
Yeah.
But I want to say I'm really shocked that you actually make your own cosmetic products. I mean, I knew you were doing the skincare and other, you know, personal care and hygiene items, but I can't believe you do the color, because I mean, your skin always looks like balanced, and sometimes I've seen it like slightly glamorous, you know, not like we've never done anything for our listeners. We've never gone out or anything together. Just, right. You know, I always thought like, oh, wow, she just has like a little hint of lip color. I wish I could do that. I just assumed you were buying that.
No, yeah. I always feel like I look silly because I make it.
That's awesome. I would love to see some tips and recipes at the Supermom HQ. I'm sure our listeners would too. But switching over to natural makeup was hard for me at first. Like you mentioned, I also had really bad skin. I was eating just a standard American diet, and I was a super duper pale girl because I was either in grad school or I was working around the clock, and I just had these horrible red pimples everywhere. And I would spend hundreds a month at Sephora. I don't remember what it was called, but I was like this VIP customer, and I'd get these ridiculous coupons in the mail, and I had my own personal sharp shopper when I went in, and try not to freak out.
Yeah.
I spent even more at the dermatologist getting chemical peels to try to fix my face. I mean, I was just loaded from the toxins. It was terrible. I mean, I was trying to look professional in my career, and it was, oh gosh, I just remember going to work on days when I didn't have face-to-face appointments, and all my staff would look at me and they're like, you got a facial peel, didn't you? Your face is bright orange. And then like for 10 days, it looked like I got my face burned outside.
Oh no.
So bad. Anyway, thankfully just simply having a better diet improved my skin, and then having babies limited my time to, you know, for applying or even buying makeup. So learning about toxins was just the icing on this already perfect cake for removing all the terrible cosmetics from my home. I think it was pretty clear that color cosmetics were the last thing for me to let go of, but I did dutifully replace each of the things in my bathroom cabinets with something like what we consider pristine here at Crunchy Supermom, like very, very clean, non-toxic, and everything in it is pronounceable or mostly natural. So I replaced everything with a pristine option, but not color, until 2009. And I'd say my look is really minimal. I have to have a really good mascara, and I've thankfully found some purchased options, but the rest doesn't matter to me as long as my skin feels okay. I'd have to say that my cleansing and moisturizing products are the stars of my whole routine. Without them, I'd probably need more makeup, but I'm pretty much a minimalist. I like the dewy skin look, and I don't even want to put powder on to cover that up, because it just makes my skin look so good just to wash it with oils. Now, you said you got rid of nail polish completely. Was there anything else that you were just convinced that it was not worth it, or you weren't able to find an alternative?
Now there is alternatives for nail polish. Back when I was eliminating it, I don't think there really was. Everything had formaldehyde in it or something. even the ingredients, you can't pronounce them in nail polish, no matter what, I don't think.
No, not even the natural ones.
No, not even the natural ones. Otherwise, it'll like peel right off, you know. Yeah. So I even still try not to use it. I will sometimes paint my toes, but that's really it. And so, I've never had like the nail stuff, the fills or anything, the acrylic. I've never done that. I was always so scared that I would get like a infection or whatever you get underneath stuff. I already didn't care too much about my nails, so it was really easy to let go for me.
Yeah.
So about that. But when I realized that there was, you know, all these amazing natural items out there that could replace some of the toxins that I was using, I really wanted to buy everything and just, you know, chunk all the stuff that I had, but my budget wouldn't allow that. So I started really breaking down the ingredients and analyzing them all, figuring out what things I truly needed and what were some amazing all-purpose beauty items that worked really like almost from head to toe. And that's actually the step one for you, our listeners, that we have is just eliminate everything you can possibly live without first. And this list may change in the future, but if you just go through all of your items and get rid of everything, so the basic necessities, what you feel like you can't live without, it might dramatically reduce, you know, the toxins you're exposed to in just that one simple step. And I know that for me, simply getting rid of the nail polish and any specialty items like, you know, the fragrance body wash and scrubs, like, you know, Bath and Body Works stuff that I used to love.
Oh, yeah.
And just getting rid of those did a lot to reduce my toxins exposure right off the bat with no cost. You know, I'm like, I don't have to have this fragrance body wash. So just get rid of it.
Yeah.
And you know, after getting rid of everything like that, that you feel like you can live without, and that we say move to step two. And this step does involve research, because now, you know, you can go through those items that are left and figure out some of the major chemicals in the products that you want to continue to use. And there are some that are considered harmless, even if you know, some things you can't pronounce, or they have it, you know, you may not be able to pronounce it, but still it is harmless. Are considered harmless, you know, right. But others like the parabens and the phthalates and retinol and fragrance, especially the fragrance, can be really harmful. And I say fragrance because companies lump so much under this term, and they absolutely do not have to disclose to you what those chemicals are. And they will put even preservatives in the fragrance, and you will never know it. So if it has fragrance on the label and they don't have listed their essential oils that they are using for that fragrance, and most labels won't even say fragrance if it's essential oils, but if it just says fragrance, I automatically assume there's dangerous chemicals in that could harm my body, because generally a company will list what's in it if it's not trying to hide things under the term,
right.
You know? And thinking about all these chemicals, if you're looking at a product, it may seem daunting to go through this huge list of chemicals that you don't understand at all, but it actually isn't that hard with some of the resources we now have on the internet. And Sarah, what is your favorite resource for checking ingredients?
Yeah, I actually donate to the Environmental Working Groups page. They have it's Skin Deep, and from my phone, even I'll just like Google, if someone brings up some product, I'll just Google the name of the product, like Melaleuca, you know, EWG, and it almost always comes like straight up. And I love that you can look at the brand overall rating and then also like by product, because some companies, like the Honest Company, who's been under fire lately, like a lot of like their company had an overall good rating, but if you looked at specific products, the baby products were some of like not that great. They weren't well rated, especially for the price. And by well rated, I mean like low in toxicity or potential toxicity. But then like the adult products that they were selling, they were really clean. So it was just, you know, everyone's like, oh, Honest Company is great for babies. And then it's actually great for adults and not great for babies. So I love that website. So do you use it, or do you have something different?
That is my first thing that I go to too, but it's got everything right there, you know, so much information collected in one spot. And so I just start there. And then if I need to go deeper or look for more, you know, some things that you search for, it'll be really specialized and they won't have enough information for you to really be able to tell if it's safe. And they say that in there. Mm-hmm. So I will move on to deeper research if I need to. And you know, I want to stress here that while people are probably thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to get rid of everything, or I'm going to have to spend hours researching, it's honestly easy to avoid almost all the dangerous chemicals just by switching to more natural things that are like just in their original state almost. So you don't have to obsess about each chemical if you're just willing to look at, you know, changing from a lotion or something like that. But you don't have to have as many preservatives. You could even do like I did and just basically quit them all and find replacements so that I didn't have to research all of the chemicals. And I basically just switched out for my lotions and things. I just started using organic oils, and some of my favorites were sunflower and olive and jojoba. And that's just a few of them. I have, you know, you go on Mountain Reserves, you can find a ton that you would want to buy. And then, yeah. Then the same with organic butters. And my two favorite of those are shea and cocoa. And you can find those organically, and they have very little processing before they reach you, have a long shelf life. And right there, you know, you've been using a lotion that requires all sorts of chemicals, usually, if you're buying, you know, not a natural version. And all of a sudden you have these great oils and butters that do more for your skin and are safe because, I mean, they're from the natural ingredients. And my other things I love using are herbs and essential oils. Those are a little more, take a little more research maybe to start using, but they're great for your skin. And let me think, for makeup, I always look for like the mineral-based products with very few ingredients. And it's easy to do with almost all of your makeup, probably the exception of mascara, mm-hmm. which just takes some research. I know you said you researched the one that you found that you liked a lot in depth, right?
Yeah. Like I think it's Tree Hugger, I believe mm-hmm. is the name of it. And I just basically do what you do, but I look at each chemical and I look them up because there's so much more research now that you can literally just look up the ingredients and find out like what it is. Cause there's a few things like in nail polish and mascara that sound really scary and you're yes. like, oh man, I can't use it cause it's not dirt and mud, but that's not necessarily true. But then there's also that greenwashing on the other hand where like, and I hate to blaze like a company, but like Melaleuca, where they'll list out all these what they call plant oils and things, but then when you look it up, I mean it's horrific, it's truly like terrible. But like mascara is generally one of those ones that even when they're not trying real hard to be natural, it's really natural because it apparently doesn't take that much.
You can look at one and it's like this laundry list of chemicals that, you know, I used to have one, I'm like, why are my eyes on fire, you know? What is in this? And then you can get one that's basically like, you know, black oxide and some beeswax and, you know, not too much else. You do have to have a preservative mm-hmm. in kind of like, you know, tube mascaras. So you're not going to get away from that safely.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are safer versions of that too. So.
Or there's one that I tried that was, I don't remember. It was extremely natural. Like I don't even, you had to buy a new one every month. So it was really, really cheap.
Oh,
it didn't ever dry. So like I couldn't blink my eyes and I was using a hair dryer. Like, not worth it.
No, that's not worth it. That would be hard.
Yeah.
And I looked at all of it in the old timey cake mascara and everything too. I'm like, I don't even know how they got that on.
Well, I honestly think that people didn't get that close to each other, I think, you know?
Really? Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Because there was less population and more space and I don't know. Maybe. That's just my theory. I think women didn't have to woo men like up close, and I hate to be sexist, but they just like could stand from afar and make their eyes really, really dark and it would look like stage makeup.
Yeah, yeah. And it was still appealing looking.
Yeah.
But we do it back away from the mirror while you're putting your makeup on. Oh, yeah, I look great.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of that, with the water and the mascara, that's one thing I really wanted to touch on today, too. If you can stay away from products with water as much as possible, you're going to eliminate the need for preservatives very often. Because when you add water to the product, like the mascara or any kind of lotion, true lotion, it's just inviting bacteria and mold growth. And I know we're all about the natural stuff and, you know, preservatives are generally not so natural, but you know, bacteria and mold could actually be more dangerous than an actual chemical preservative. So I love, you know, hearing about all the natural makeups, but in body care products, but I always look, I'm like, does it have water? That's like one of the first things I will look for. Does it have water? If it has water, it needs a preservative. And then what is that preservative? And sometimes I'm not finding them. And so I'm not sure how they're preserving them or how they're listing that preservative, which is strange. Yeah. And sometimes you're seeing some that are so natural sounding, like on one, I could not find the preservative and it's like that they had Japanese honeysuckle extract and it sounds all nice. And you're like, oh, it's beautiful. Of course I want honeysuckle extract on my skin, you know, but what that actually is a preservative and it may be okay. But at some point when you take something that is natural, like honeysuckle, and, you know, chemically alter it so much, it can act just like one of the the chemically created preservative. So there's some thought and evidence that Japanese honeysuckle extract acts just like a paraben in your body. So it may be a great preservative, or, you know, but it's also acting just like the chemically created one. So just because it's comes from a natural thing does not necessarily mean that the end result is not going to act just like the chemically created one in your body. So is it safe, or is it just not well tested enough for us to be sure? We won't really know. You have to like make that decision yourself almost and decide what's safe enough for you. And there are food grade preservatives that I would consider most likely safe, but how well can they preserve the item without refrigeration? Or like you were saying, the mascara that was only like, you can only keep it for a month for it to be safe. And so I do see those items like that mascara as being very short shelf life and something you want to be really careful with, because even if you can't see the mold and definitely not the bacteria in a product, it doesn't mean that it's not there, and it can be there and it can be damaging to people. And I think that's where some of the natural products get such a bad rap in the kind of the chemical, you know, people who are really into the more chemical or chemist even, you know, they get a bad rap, and it's because they're trying so hard to be natural that it almost goes too far, and they're willing to take the bacteria mold and not the preservative. But I don't think that's a good alternative either.
No. And then the cost too. I mean, the overall cost, because like that mascara was extremely natural. And so people are like, oh, well, it's worth paying $38 because it's not, you know, super duper natural, but it was $38 a month. And wow. Like, that's, to me, like you said, you know, what's more important, can you just go without it, or find something that's like decent, you know, like maybe an in-between option, because it's mascara and it's in your eye, and that's kind of a, you know, I'd actually rather have like super natural soaps and lotions that go on all my skin and get maybe a mediocre mascara. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. I mean, everybody has to make their own choices, but I don't just compare like the ingredients list. I look at the cost. Like, yes. I was saying, Honest Company, you're not getting what you're paying for. You can find a lot of alternatives that cost a lot less that are actually just as natural or even more natural. They, you know, it's again, like, make sure you're getting what you pay for in addition to it being what it claims to be.
Right. That's true. And it can, this is kind of the part of the step that can take a while, and why sometimes it's easier to just figure out what you don't have to have. And that's kind of the way I'm with mascara too, you know, because it's so expensive to find a decent alternative. I don't wear it around the house, because I'm like, you know, I just minimize the exposure, and I only wear it when I'm going out really, or, you know, somebody's coming over or something like that. So there's just ways you have to kind of find the balance with that, as with everything. And so really, I guess most of the products, I feel like you can avoid water, and that eliminates a huge amount of, you know, the ability. You're not going to have the mold and the bacteria in a product if it is if there's no water in it. As long as you keep your hands clean and you know, don't get water in it yourself, you should be good there. And it can be hard to do with things like shampoos, but it is possible to get the bar shampoo. And that's what I do. I make that so I don't have to have a preservative in it. And so I guess, Sarah, I'd like to ask you, what are your favorite ingredients for you and your family?
Yeah, I pretty much get everything. If I'm making our products, I get it all from Mountain Rose Herbs, just because it's one-stop shopping. And I can pretty much trust everything. I mean, I hope I can. I know every company, it seems like you do the research and then 5 years later you need to force yourself to do the research again. But I pretty much buy everything from them. I was really keeping it plain Jane, and I've recently started adding like more scents, like you had mentioned in your blog post about the body butter, like the hydrosols. I've added some of those just for a little bit of fragrance, and I love it. But I get it all from Mountain Rose Herbs. Is that where you get some of your stuff?
That's where I get a lot of my stuff. That I'm making small batches of things. They have, their quality seems to be really, really great. And I know that's what I like what you were saying. You have to continuously evaluate the company and look at what they're doing. And honestly, these companies like Mountain Reserves, they are doing their due diligence by checking their sources, but it's possible for them to be, you know, fooled too from their sources. So you're trusting Mountain Reserves to have done their research on their sources. And you know, for me, as long as the company is willing to almost like recall a product that they find is not to their, up to their standards, I really trust them. And Mountain Reserve is one of those. For their essential oils, somebody found, it's been recently, they found, you know, one of the oils that was not accurate. It was not the right oil, you know, that they thought.
Wow.
And Mountain Reserve went back and they had it independently tested, and they found out that, you know, their supplier was obviously probably had lied to them, and so they recalled it and gave everyone their money back. And
wow, that's awesome.
You know, yeah, now if you're willing to do that, I feel like, you know, anybody can get caught in that. It could happen to anyone. It's about how they respond, and other companies have not been so good about that, and they try to kind of cover up, you know, right, where their essential oils come. There's big money in essential oils. We can go on and on about that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But yeah, overall, I really like them, and I like how they have, you know, the oils and butters and containers and everything so you can make your own. And of course, I'm huge into making your own stuff.
Yeah.
But do you make your, you said you made a lot of which you guys use too.
Yeah, I make about 70% of our personal care items. I kind of combine like a handmade thing, or, you know, something. I bought your stuff. I love your stuff from Green Earth Naturals. And like, I'll combine like your shampoo bar because it makes my hair amazing. I'll wash my hair with it once a week or two. And then I'll wash with an organic salon quality shampoo. Like, I recently used Loma Organics, but there's a lot of citrus in it, and so it's, like, not so great for my scalp. So I'm trying out a Cure, I think. It's not salon quality, but it's really well-rated. But I just kind of, I couple my higher-end salon products with something. Like, your shampoo bar, I consider it extremely affordable and extremely natural. So I pair it with my more expensive salon products. So that's what we do in our home. But it's still organic. Now I've used the same brand of Color Cosmetics since 2012, at least. I think I had samples back in 2009, ran out of samples, had to buy a color. And I use a Lima Pure, and I've been super happy with them, but they've kind of exploded from being a tiny operation to like a big company. And, when and if I run out of makeup, I'm going to have to research them, because I just have a hard time believing that they've maintained their purity all these years. I hope that they have, but I just can't imagine it. But I'm one of those people that, like, I have my brow powder that I use as an eyeliner powder and as an accent eyeshadow. So it's like one product. And then I have a concealer powder that I use to blend my accent eyeshadow to make it like a light cocoa color. And then I use that as a concealer. And so that's two products. And then I have a face powder and a bronzer, and that's it. And I have this cheek color sample that's lasted me well over 4 years. So I'm a minimalist when it comes to color, and those things I bought all like outright, but everything else I kind of pair with a handmade plus a, you know, more reputable, clean purchase item.
Right.
So, you know, these are our steps for getting those dangerous chemicals out of your beauty care. We hope we can help you get started on those steps, or even, you know, maybe take what you're doing now to the next step and improve your natural beauty care routine. We've put together a packet of tools for you guys to get started on, and we want to send it to you. So just go to crunchysupermom.com/organicbeauty. And we'll give you an invite to our private Facebook group too, where we answer all the questions that we get and share even more tips. So thanks for tuning in.